Hey everyone, welcome to the Raising Wonder podcast. If you've tuned in, I already believe two things about you. That you care about raising children who see themselves and the world around them as wonders to behold. And that we have something good for you in today's episode. Wonder what it might be? I'm Nicole Gillette and I'm the founder of Wonder Learning Community in Meadville, Pennsylvania. I'm an educator, business owner, and most importantly, wife and mother. And I'm truly grateful to share this space with you. As I picture you now, I imagine you might be listening with a baby on your hip, or while children are nearby playing, or perhaps you're sharing some of your precious alone time with us. You're in good company, and we're honored you're here. Raising kids is hard, but raising wonder makes it beautiful too. And guess what? Wonder is multiplied in community. We're in this together. Let's meet today's guest. Hello and welcome to all of our guests today. For this episode, I have three people joining me. Good old Matt, back from episode one, also known as my husband, and two of our very best and oldest friends, Trevor and Kim Watts. And we're so excited to have both of you join, and thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we were just talking before we got started off the recording too, and just reminiscing about all the good times we've had. Most recently, we were at the Grand Canyon together, all of our families, and that was a lot of fun. And also just like going back to, probably you can think of like the high school days and so many memories there. And they're so awesome and patient. We had a lot of technical difficulties getting started. We were hoping to do a video recording of this since it's all four of us. But, you know, we're flexible and we're just rolling with it. So thank you for being that way. Trevor and Kim both serve in the military, in the Air Force. How many years now? I was trying to calculate it. I was like, is it like 14?
15.
It'll be 16 next February. Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you both for your service. We always think of you and we love you guys, and you work so hard and you have such amazing stories too. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to interview you for this topic today, of talking about big life changes in families. And I know that you have both gone through, and your amazing son, they're amazing parents too, an amazing son. And just like thinking of moving around, that's like one of the biggest things I can think of with big life changes. But I'm sure maybe some other types of life changes might come up in our conversation. But yeah, we wanted to talk with you about that today. And again, thank you for wanting to share that part of your life. And we're grateful for the wisdom that I know you'll have. They're both like probably some of our favorite parents to look up to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah. We talk about that a lot. Like just how you... Oh, yeah, just how you interact with each other and then how you interact with your son. It's like their relationship is just so sweet and special and mature in ways too. Like I think of how your son is just how he handles so many things. And it's always a joy just being around all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we start, I wanted to just ask a question, thinking about like how you guys have moved and lived all over. And is there one place in your mind that stands out that has like supported you as a family, like a different country or a different location? Has one been like a favorite or one that you think of as like being really supportive of just family life in general?
Well, yeah, I'll preface this. We moved 5 times, right, as a family. And to go through it all, we went from Italy to South Carolina. Ezra went to New Jersey. I went to Korea. He went to
Qatar.
Southeast Asia. All right. Back to South Carolina, to Japan, and now to Arizona. And the place that supported us most was probably our first base, Italy, is what I think, right?
Can you provide an example?
Oh, yeah, first base. We're babies, right? 21.
19
years old, first base, first time living away from parents. And we had a bunch of older mentors and influences that just kind of looked out, you know, made sure we had food, made sure we had things to do on the weekend, made sure we stayed out of trouble. And then once we had Ezzy, you know, they came to the hospital, they fed us, they threw us a baby shower, you know, so it was a lot of great that they did for us. So
definitely. I mean, when you say family, in the military, everybody that you're working with really becomes your family. And especially before you have kids, you're kind of seeing how they interact with their kids and how we come together, especially living overseas. I don't think we've ever been closer to any of our coworkers than when we live overseas, because you're, you know, in this sub-community in this entire country kind of experiencing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And what Trevor alluded to is, you know, these are our bosses, these are our friends, and they're coming together to throw us a baby shower before an entire unit deploys. They're coming together to give us and help us out, set up Ezra's nursery, because, you know, we were caught in a crossfire of not being able to leave the day before a major move, because I was considered
high risk.
Mm.
So there was just a lot of different things where we saw our community come together, and it kind of showed us what family looks like outside of blood, right?
Yeah.
That's so sweet, and like how powerful that can be. We had Nico without immediate family, like blood family, like right around too.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit different because we were not in that same capacity of like serving or overseas or anything like that, but it is like a different type of experience, I bet, than like if you had people that were that you've known your whole lives, like around you.
Yeah.
Did you feel like similar? Was that like hard or like different, you thought, than like what you maybe thought it would be like having Nico not being close by, like where we grew up or people we knew?
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't have an image in my head ahead of time of what that would look like.
No,
in all reality, yeah.
That's so interesting to me. I think I always pictured like what it would be like when we first had kids. Did you guys have pictures in your mind of like what it would look like?
Oh yeah, I mean, I know I did. I saw how my family was with my sister. I only have one sibling, right? And she has three kids, so everybody comes together. Everybody's at the hospital. They're there to help you.
Mm.
But we had Ezra overseas, and we didn't have my family nor Reggie's family, because we were thinking we were going to be in South Carolina when Ezra was born.
Mm.
But the day prior, you know, the doc said that I couldn't fly, so we really were by ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that was really interesting, and we learned the hard way. How little sleep can really affect you as brand new parents.
Yep.
But
that'll be a theme. We learned everything the hard way.
Yeah.
Every single thing we learned the hard way.
Yeah. I think we've all been there probably at different times, learning things the hard way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot of parenting. It's like there's no easy way to learn stuff about being a parent.
Well, I tried that and it blew up in my face, so let's not do that the next time.
But you mentioned people like mentoring you too. That's so good. That is, I think, something everybody needs in all walks of life for anything, but especially parenting, especially raising kids, to have good people who have gone there before and done those things, even if it isn't exactly in the same way. Like, that's super helpful. Yeah. So in living through big moves and other big life changes, how have you seen yourself growing as a parent? Have you changed a lot over the course of, Ezra's 12, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah. He'll be 12, remember, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like been about almost 12 years. How have you seen yourself changing over that time as a parent?
My goodness. Well, as a person, I don't know if I understood really what patience meant until I became a parent. And having, you know, being a woman and having a boy, right, there's a lot of things that I didn't immediately understand that he was going through. And so learning how to be patient with myself as I help him figure that out. I would say being in the military and having a constant dynamic of who is going to be home with him while the other member is deployed, or when the other member is, you know, on a work trip for a week, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, has definitely also played a factor in, you know, me as a parent and not always having to feel like I know I need to have the answers right away and kind of leaning on my partner for that. Mm. So,
yeah. That's really good. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. For me, you guys know that I used to hate planning, preparation, everything I would do. It's all the what type stuff, right? And I think when she first deployed, which is like a big change that happened, right? And I was a single parent, that's when I had to like abide to a schedule, especially mm-hmm. with a little 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Nothing could be altered in that schedule or else he would go crazy.
Yeah.
That. So, yeah, I'm a player now. I play hardcore.
No, really, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Grand Canyon wasn't a good example. I kind of had you guys in summer clothes and it was a little colder than we expected.
Yeah, we were all surprised by the weather.
It's Arizona. It's going to be hot. Like, yeah. Yeah. Snowing the whole time, right? Which is crazy.
Yes.
But even like planning for these moves, it takes so much coordination. It takes so much planning. It takes so much bandwidth from both our brains to make this work. Planning is so important to me now. Which is crazy.
That is really important. And that's really good advice. Do you have specific ways that you plan? Like, I'm thinking of us, we're trying to get better about that, and I think that like we make schedules on like getting just like really practical, like to be helpful to people, like we make schedules on our Google Calendar. We like share certain events with each other, some we keep just to ourselves if they're irrelevant to the other person. But then we also try to look through like a whole year plan, like big overview stuff. I don't know, but maybe you find different systems or routines that work well for you. Like, how do you plan and how do you, like keep schedules and routines for your family?
Yeah, kind of the same as you guys. A lot of calendar appointments. I do a lot of notes on my phone. Mm. There's like the states, the schools, different educations, like all types of stuff in my phone right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest part is that I just finding how to communicate that with Kim. To a point where we can get on the same page. I think that's the biggest part of it.
Constant communication, for sure. Mm-hmm. I will say we've kind of learned our strengths through trial and error, but
learning the hard way.
Right, through the hard way, right? Kind of going back to what we spoke about before. I am a details person. I'm like in the nitty gritty, and this is my scope. It's like right in front of me, and I can go on for hours with details and hear options. Trevor is more like long-range planning, like let's look into the future, let's see what's going on with schools, and we're supposed to move again here in 6 months, and he's already talking about how we're going to get there, how we're going to do this, what are we going to set up, what does our living situation look like, different schools and things like that. And I'm just kind of like here and now with Ezra as he's about to start his new school year. Like, I'm more focused with what sports can he do in this time, you know, but what does his schedule look like? What does his day-to-day look like? But most of it will be either conversation day-to-day or on, like, Cozy or Google Calendar. Mm-hmm. And really including Ezra in these conversations, too, is really helpful just to, you know, get a feel for what he's interested in.
That's great.
That is good.
I'm thinking, too, like, including him is so good because... So Nico has started saying to us, like, I feel rushed or like I feel busy or overwhelmed. He's even said before. And so first, I'm just super proud of him that he will like verbalize that for being 4. But then I'm also, of course, feeling guilty. And I'm like, oh, no, he feels rushed or like busy. And so I think that I do think it comes to like maybe us needing to take some stuff off of our plate and slowing down at times. It's like good feedback from our own child and wanting to be receptive to that. But I also think like maybe if we included him in on some planning or he could anticipate things coming up, that that could ease some of maybe the anxiety that he feels around.
Mm-hmm. We do it a lot. It's a double-edged sword because the kids think that they really like make decisions. Like, I'm looking for your input. Decision. Sometimes get kind of offended. If we do something, we don't fully explain, but we love it. I mean, it just shows his emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Right. I think that happened. I think that happened today. I gave him 2 options and let him choose. He chose the one, and then I said, actually, yeah, we're not going to do that. Sorry. And he's like, well, but I chose it. Yeah. So, yeah.
I could see him, like, taking things off his schedule, too. Like, erasing it and be like, well, we're not, I don't want to do this today. Yeah. But again, I think it's all just opportunities for really good conversations. So.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, actually, like, how you've maybe seen your son growing over the years too, especially with different big changes, whether it's moving or other stuff. But I think you've already started to say some of the answers to that. Like, he's gaining skills that you guys are gaining yourself, and that's really cool. It's probably really hard sometimes too, of course. Like, learning is always a tough thing, but that's so encouraging to see. Do you feel like there are other ways that you've seen him grow through different big changes in your lives?
Oh, most definitely. I would say when he was younger, as long as we had a routine and we provided some familiarity for him, he was fine.
Mm.
No matter where we were, no matter what we were doing, he was fine. As long as he had some kind of constant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that could be like some of his favorite snacks. You know how snacks can change when you're traveling from location to location?
Mm.
Sometimes something simple as that, like, you know, the little yogurt bites that you can find, like that.
I remember he used to love those.
Yeah, feeding them to all of his friends.
Yeah, aww. Including me. I used to have
yogurt. Right, exactly. Yeah, because one of the biggest changes I would say for Ezra during our time as a family is when we all three had to separate to three different locations, and he had to move to New Jersey. Like, that was a huge change. But some of the ways that we were able to provide consistency is Dad would send him a toy dinosaur once a month, right? And that was
sweet.
That he really looked forward to. And Mom, I would call him, I would FaceTime him at the same time every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he may not have been, like, in the conversation when he's 4 years old, you know, just playing, it was the fact that Mom was going to be on the phone, right, at the same time. So there's some constants there.
It was hot.
Yeah.
And my parents did a great job with them as well, too.
Yeah.
As far
they really did.
Hanging out with them, paying attention. You guys even came to visit them, too, right? So we just... That's
the faces, right?
Mm.
That's the community that we were talking about. You guys are a part of that community, you know, a big part of it. So you guys came out and visited, helped my family out. So that meant the world to us, too.
Mm.
It's a tough time. But as far as him growing and changing, like, his confidence right now, I feel like he's, like... rocking it like through the roof.
That's good.
Right?
That's awesome.
He's lived in so many different places, and he kind of knows that he can make friends. He can thrive in social environments. Like, he's very talkative. He's very animated.
Yeah.
He's good at sports now, so his confidence is just like insane right now, which is good. He's not cocky. He's just very confident.
That's good.
That's awesome. He really is.
He is. Yeah.
He's so kind-hearted, but also he's confident too. He really is. I love to do research on different topics, especially as I'm preparing for things, including these types of conversations. And I found this research I thought was really interesting. It says that different studies have shown children who have moved or gone through big life changes have increased opportunities to build self-confidence and interpersonal skills. They're more resilient and adaptable. And so hearing you all share that, it's I can see that in him for sure. I love that phrasing too, like the opportunity gives more opportunity. That's something I've been trying to tell myself too, of like, even in challenging situations, instead of getting stuck and feeling overwhelmed, stopping and asking, okay, what's the opportunity here? I have an opportunity here. My son or daughter has an opportunity. We as a family have an opportunity.
Yeah. So anytime we do a big move or, anything like that, there's a little bit of angst with moving, right? Because you've already kind of established that your small community, and it's like, oh, it's already over, it's time to do something else. But we're like, yeah, but think about this new journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the exciting things that we're going to experience together as a family, things that we've never seen before. I mean, I'm from Texas, but I've never lived in a desert like this. So, you know, to be on this journey for all of us together for the very first time was very rewarding, because we were all feeling the same things, right?
Yeah.
At different levels. So even that, we're in it together.
Yeah.
And we talked about that as a family.
And through the process, you know, we showed them the house, we YouTube like local things in the area. We showed them the school. What else? We showed them Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, basketball.
So we'll kind of sell it like that.
Yeah.
So next move, let's say we move to New Jersey. I'm like, okay, well, we can go to some, go see grandma and grandpa. Let's go to some Knicks games, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of sell it that way so that he knows that there'll be something for him to enjoy out of this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's so smart.
I like car salesmen. You know?
Yeah.
selling hope.
Yeah. Selling hope.
Like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's full circle going back to Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
It would be. Yeah.
That'd be crazy. Wouldn't that be crazy?
We're still waiting to hear.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And we got to move in December, so.
Then you'll really be able to compare again New Jersey and Italy pizza, Italian pizza. The more important question
debate,
we should have on the podcast here.
Sorry, Jersey, but Italy definitely wants
that. Yeah, I knew that you both would have so much wisdom, but you're like even sharing things that I didn't even know that you did, and that's why I just love you guys. Like the fact that you research where you're going beforehand and like incorporate different cultural things that you can be excited about, so it's like you can start to like be a part of that before you even get there, like researching like sports teams or looking up things in the area. That's such a good idea.
It's also so cool too that you guys focus on it being like something that you're doing together, because I feel like as parents a lot of times we can have this structural hierarchy where we're just like, we're the parents, we're just going to do whatever it is. You're going to do whatever it is that we tell you to do, and you're going to go there, and you're going to do this, and this is your new school, and this is your new house. But, like, forgetting that we're all experiencing this together, and it's an opportunity for us to all be like, I'm feeling some of the same things you're feeling. This is all new. I've never been here before. You've never been here before. So let's do this together.
Yeah.
You know, that's so good that you guys do that.
Yeah, honestly, we learned that from the military, because, like, when we came in, it was that way. Where, like, somebody above us would say something and we couldn't question it. And that's all right. You know? Hey, sweep this bathroom up. Okay, yes, sir, we got it. Nowadays, we have to, like, give them the reason why. We can't just, like, go outside and pick a rock. They're going to be like, why do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Right? And to give, like, full buy-in, we have to explain, like, why it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm thinking of, like, other big life changes, too, other than moving. So one that comes to mind is, like, when there's a new family member coming to your family. So, like, if you're having a baby or something. And so I'm thinking how those ideas and ways to incorporate, like, researching the new change that's about to happen in your family. Like, you could do that with other examples like that. Like, okay, we're going to have a baby. Let's, like... let's watch videos about babies and, like, let's see, what does it look like to be a big brother, a big sister? Like, let's visit some families that have more, you know, a bigger brother or sister and see how they take care of their baby. Or, like, let's help babysit, you know, our friend's baby this week. And
sure.
Like, that's such a good thing to do, I think.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000% is. I mean, the best example to that, I would say, is my family, which is, they're big and they're loud and they're proud and... they have a lot of kids, right? Ezra's an only child. So when they were here for almost 2 weeks, you know, Ezra, as an only child, got to kind of like feel out his place in a big family. Yeah, and he kind of turned into like the little brother of the cousins, you know, very, very playful. So it's not like, you know, as an only child, he just stayed in the room and stayed on his phone. Like, he was out with the family and he was intermingling, and I think that kind of goes back to the resiliency piece, right? Where he knows his comfort level is kind of like being an introvert to himself, having his own things and kind of having his own space, but he also knows like when to share, you know what I mean? Like the playfulness that goes along with being around other kids, right? So that was pretty cool to see.
And we had to talk about that because I had a parent lesson in that where her nieces came and he turned into like a baby, right? Like baby bro.
The whole time, the youngest one.
The whole time I'm like, this isn't my son. Like, what is he acting like? It's like irritating, right? It's making me mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? He actually deserves to be the little kid for once, right? Because he's so much all the time. He deserves his break.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That was kind of a lesson to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's so empathetic. That's really a good way to look at it. We've seen that before too. That's like where they can act like different than you think, or like, yeah.
Yeah, show
like little baby talk kind of or something. We'll see that right. pop up. I'm like, what is this? But that's so, yeah, that's really empathetic to think about it that way. Like, maybe they just want to be in that role for a little bit.
It's tough for them to kind of dial that back, right? Because you want to, like, it's for the coldness of the world. But it's like, just let them be a kid for now.
Yeah, we were having that conversation about Nico lately because he's been, like, I don't know, he'll be 5 in October, so... depending on what age group of other friends he's around, it'll be like, oh, now you're trying to act cool. Or you're like, trying to impress somebody. And it's like, who is this kid? Like, this is not my kid. But it's like, oh, man, here we go.
A whole like, different walk.
Yeah.
It's fun to see how they change and... I think it's like a mirror to ourselves sometimes too, where I'm like, oh, you know what? I probably do that. I can probably act different ways around different people sometimes. And it's like a good reminder to be like, it's interesting to ask why. Why is that happening in your kid? Why is it happening in me sometimes? And then it's okay to be like that sometimes, or sometimes maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But yeah, we're talking through so many good ways to prepare before a big change, and you've mentioned so many already, and I think that that will really help anybody who's listening who might be going through a big change right now or about to go through one, especially someone who is a parent and wanting to lead their family well. But I know that it can still be daunting or even hard when you're in the midst of it. And so what would you say to a parent who is like really struggling with that? Like, they're in the middle of a really big change and they feel like they're having a hard time leading their family, or they know a really big change is coming up, and they're just not sure how to deal with it. Like, what would you say to somebody who's in that situation?
I would go back to the basics. Just like, be patient with yourself, right? Because if it's a big change you've never been through before, or even if you have been through it before, it's going to be stressful, right? There's going to be a lot of things that you don't know the answer to. And so patience really does go a long way. I think sometimes we forget to be patient with ourselves, because as an adult, we're like, oh, but we should know better. Mm-hmm. But we don't know better, or we've never sometimes encountered something like that before. So patience really does go a long way, right? Another thing is with family, it's just to constantly communicate feelings, what you're thinking, what your plans are, what you're trying to, you know, formulate. Just that constant communication is really helpful. I know that I've noticed that normally I wouldn't bring up something to Trevor unless I felt like it was daunting. But lately, I've just kind of been bringing up all types of things, and it's just made communication a lot smoother. Not just when I'm worried, but just all types of things. And I think it's been pretty helpful. What about you?
I think that as parents, we have to take our own medicine. We teach our kids to be resilient, and we kind of have to display that at all times, that we have a resilient mindset. And I think if you're kind of stressed about something, I just think it means you have to prepare more. And that's kind of the approach the approach I take. So if I'm stressing about this move, I have like 15 different backup plans in my back pocket that I talk to Kim about all the time. So I just think prepare more if you're nervous, you know, about something. Research, prepare more, and it kind of helps put you at ease.
Yeah.
It's kind of something that I do.
That's all really good.
And she'll let me know if I'm over-obsessing, which
yeah.
is that okay?
Yeah.
Like, another RV you're showing me? Another one? I'm like, well, yeah. With this housing market, you never know. But yeah, you just got to prepare more.
Yeah.
And I mean, for people going through big life changes who may not have a partner, ask a lot of questions. Like, I have so many questions all the time, because I want to make sure that I'm not the ignorant person. And if I am, that's why I'm asking questions, because I want to be prepared, right? Like, nobody's a professional at everything. Like, if I've never bought an RV before, I'm going to ask a million questions.
But I'll call up you guys.
Right.
We'll tell you what not to do.
Like, I know it kind of goes hand in hand with preparation, but like, there's only so many things that you can read, and then before you start asking people who've been through these things, like, hey, what was your experience?
Yeah.
You know, what was the pros? What was the cons? How did you feel, right? And not taking that as the gospel, but, like, just kind of hoarding in all of these bits of information that you're hearing so that you kind of have a roundabout, you know, idea of what you're about to encounter, whether it's a big move or, you know, a new baby or, you know, family dynamics are changing or whatever the big change is. It just feels like sometimes we are too proud to ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's true. Being vulnerable is hard. And I think especially as like in a, I don't know, this is an interesting question for you, but I view it, I've never lived in another country before. Is that like, do you think that that's even harder? I mean, I think it's harder as humans, but do you think it's harder in American society to be vulnerable than it is in, like, other societies? Because I just, like, view us as being, like, proud.
Stubborn, proud.
Stubborn people, yeah.
That's a great question.
Yes and no, right? Because, like, culturally, I would say the most recent country we lived in was Japan. We lived there for 3 years in northern Japan, and culturally, they are very, I wouldn't say stubborn, but they have a strong identity, the Japanese. You know, they're kind of a one-of-a-kind country where you can always kind of pick out, like, the Japanese style or Japanese culture in general. They all kind of assimilate into a certain mindset, and their saying is, like, if you stick out, that's bad. Right, that Japanese culture. So I don't know if I would say, you know, being brute as Americans, I don't really know how I would answer that question.
we were vulnerable overseas because we didn't know what we were doing, we didn't know where we were at. So we had people, I think, well, like, when I come back to the States, I'm like, okay, I got my truck, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone, right? But over there, I'm like, hey, I need help. Like,
yeah.
How do you say this? What do I eat? Like, what do I order?
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I misunderstood. I have a different perspective because I did live in Japan before as a child with my parents, because my parents were prior military. There's a lot of things that I've seen before. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not afraid to ask questions. Like, I will just go in somewhere and just order something and not be okay with it and order something else. Or, you know, I did a lot of traveling. Well, I did a lot of traveling by myself when we were in Japan because of work. And I think that experience kind of taught me different things about myself versus traveling with my family, right? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have Trevor to lean on for directions. I didn't have Ezra to lean on to help me with my bags. It was just me by myself having to figure it out. So I think that's also a different journey when you only have yourself to rely on, right?
Yeah. You guys are the best. Oh, I could, like, listen to you talk about anything for hours, especially parenting, especially all of your life is just so full and beautiful and interesting. You have so many interesting stories. And so thank you both for taking time to share a bit of that. And
of course,
makes me happy knowing that you're, like, you've been able to be a part of different communities all over the place, because you're, like, lights out in the world. And I really mean that. Like, we talk all the time about how much we just look up to the both of you and love you. You're both so brave and just kind, fun to be around, and wise. And so thank you for sharing a bit of that today with anyone who might listen to this.
Same to you guys. You guys are probably the kindest people we've ever met.
Really?
No cap.
You like
no cap.
Yeah. Just like the epitome of, like, genuine friends who turn into families. Like, Nicole, right? That's who we think
of.
Yeah. Well, that's great, like, a great segue into just, like, reminding of that community is where it's at. That's what we're building here, and this is why we wanted to do this podcast, and why we're doing Wonder out in Meadville, Pennsylvania. And Yeah, next time you guys come visit, we'll have to show you around the space.
Yes, hopefully it'll be soon.
Forward to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.